My name's Nathan. I grew up in Sylvan Lake, Alberta. Has anybody ever heard of Sylvan Lake? Oh, thank goodness. Are you guys from Alberta? Anybody from Alberta? Oh, my heart is there. Oilers or Calgary Flames? Flames? Oilers? Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, I understand. I understand. My mom is a Flames fan, and so, yeah, big Oilers fan. I love sports. I just want to get you to get to know me a little bit, because I think that's important. I'm not here to speak to you. I'm here to speak with you. You are my friends. You are my family. We are together here in Christ, and I'm so excited to get to know you guys as well. Anyway, just a little bit about my life. Grew up in Sylvan Lake. 20 years I lived there. Had a great time, big family. I'm a triplet. I always forget to say that because we're not identical. And so it's just like I grew up with friends. But yeah, my mom had three kids, wasn't planning for another one, but she got three more. And so, you know, it's like the 3-for-1 coupon kind of thing. She redeemed that right there. But yeah, so grew up in Alberta, loved it there. Had great friends growing up. And then I graduated high school, and I have been going to church my whole life. I know God. I knew of God. And when I was going through high school, I think with maybe a lot of us can say, had some rough times, had some rough goes. I didn't get too wild, I didn't get too crazy, but had some hard times and never really grasped onto my faith, held on to what Jesus was asking of me at that time until I was graduated. So graduated high school and was like, all right, I got to find some direction for my life. I need to know what I'm doing. I need to know where I'm going. I love to have control on my life. I love to know what's next, my next steps. And I needed that. And so God, I was like desperate to know. And so I was like, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? I tried working 7 different jobs out of high school, not all at once, of course, that's too much. But I tried doing 7 different ones in the course of a couple, three years. Can't remember the timeline. I'm only 26, but man, this memory's going already. So pray for me. But over the span of this 2 to 3 years, I am trying to figure it out. I worked retail. I worked trades. I worked management. I did all these things, and none of it stuck. I was like, God, what are you asking of me? Like, I was so desperate to know. So desperate. And eventually, I would go and listen to God and be like, okay, God, I feel like you're leading me to want to help people. And let me tell you, I did not have the grades or the drive to become a doctor. But I was like, if I could, I would. But I was like, okay, next best thing, paramedicine. Why don't I go into be a paramedic? I would love that. That would be awesome. And so I went to school for the first level of paramedics in Alberta. And I passed with the highest grades that the school has ever seen. And I was like, God, this is it. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. You have answered me. And so now I'm moving forward and I'm going with that. And I go to take my provincial test, and oh my goodness. It's rightfully so, they have a very difficult test, but man, it was stressful. They put you in a big room, and there's literally every single medical equipment that could be on an ambulance was there. Even if it didn't get used ever, it was there. So these huge long tables, 3 judges and a camera sitting there on a tripod looking right at you. And I was like, this is terrifying. And I was so nervous. I was so scared. And rightfully so, I failed. It was so much. I failed the first time, but I was like, okay, God, now I know what it's going to be like. I've got the knowledge. I've got everything in here. I'll go do it again. And it's what's really funny about the first one, the thing that I failed was CPR. Like, come on. They teach 6th graders to do CPR, and I failed CPR. And it was only because I didn't verbalize I had a partner with me. You have to verbalize an invisible partner and tell them what to do. That was it. That was the only thing that I failed. And so the second time I go and take it, I was just as stressed, just as nervous. And this time I failed because I didn't move a ladder out of the way in this whole verbal situation. I didn't move a ladder out of the way. So I failed again, and I am upset at God. God, you told me to do this. You told me to go here. I've spent thousands now on these courses, on these classes. I've spent money on this exam, and now you're asking me to go a different direction? Like, God, this is what you wanted me to do. And I had to take a check in my life. And I asked myself, what have I been doing to actually listen to God? What have I been doing? Nothing. I would go to church on a Sunday. I would put on the worship music, you know, on my drive. I wouldn't open my word. I wouldn't pray to God, but I just was so desperate to hear from him. But I wasn't. And there's this lack of direction in my life. And it wasn't until I spent some really deep time letting God transform my heart in just small ways that I decided to go try this other job, and it was in a coffee shop in a skate park. I am not a skater. I remember taking a scooter into the skate park sometimes, doing a drop off, and man, I fell so many times. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. But the heart of this coffee shop and this the skate park, they were run by a youth organization called Youth for Christ, or Youth Unlimited now, I can't remember which one. I think they've been switch-watching every switch way, but anyways, their whole goal was to connect with youth in the community and to be with them. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm growing in my faith. I'm accepting Jesus. This is helping people. Why don't I give it a shot? And so I go and do it, and I knew immediately that this was different for me. It was intentional. And in that time of spiritual formation that God was changing my heart, I remember him saying these words to me, giving this onto my heart. He said, Nate, as I was asking for direction, he says, Nate, 24/7 you're going to live for me. And it's broad. It totally is. It's like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Everyone, we should all be, you know, doing that. But for some reason, it was like this fire in my heart. 24/7, you're going to live for me. And so that led me into this job, which then led me into Bible college, which led me to marrying my wife, which led me to moving out here. And I look at it all and I go, man, what a crazy road. Like, it's BC. I was going to move to Saskatchewan before I moved to BC. So that says a lot right there. But moving to BC, totally new to me. But can I tell you this? When we were moving out, there was zero anxiety. There was peace about everything. Andrea, we fasted and we prayed to say, God, do you want us to take this position? Do you want us to go here? Do you want us to be a blessing here? And God, he never said yes. He never said no. We were just stuck in this middle. And where I felt back in my paramedics, I go, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want? I was getting nervous about that. And then we never had the answer. And we were like, Andrea, let's do it. Let's go. And the whole time, he got us an apartment quickly for rent. He got us transportation quickly. He worked all these things out for us in the background. And the biggest thing I want to point out to all of my story is this lack of direction had nothing to do with external things around me. Because I was so worried about all of that stuff. The direction Jesus wanted me to go was between me and him. And that is why we're going to talk about the way. The way to God, to come and follow me. If you've heard of this book completely inspired this message. You may hear a lot of things. It's called Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to. If you're considering running a small group, they have an awesome, awesome video series. It is incredible. I encourage you to take a look at it. It's just the practicingtheway.org. But direction, it's an important thing, you know? Like I was just talking about, direction, it's an important thing. It's to get to a certain destination. We want to know how to get there. We want to know when to turn right, when to turn left, when there's a stop sign coming up. And that's important to know. It's good to know. But what I want to ask you today is, do you know the way to God? Do you know the way to God? Do you know the way that Jesus has asked you to live your life? And I understand, maybe some of you here and you're like, oh, I'm old, I know the way. But I encourage you, let's have open hearts today to hear from God. Because maybe something in here will shock you. And it's not a trick question either. Do you know the way to God? I'm not trying to trick you and be like, oh, here comes something really fancy that's going to trip you up. No, it's just it's a check-in question to check and see, hey, what do we view about this? The world has changed a lot. It has changed a lot. Even in the 26 years that I have lived here, it has changed a lot. And I want each one of us to maybe take hold of these presuppositions we have in our mind and hold on to them before God and say, will you take away what is wrong and replace what is right? You see, as human beings, we're told that we gotta look and be a specific way. We're being shaped by so much around us today. And what we're told is that, especially in church culture, in church communities, that the speaker, he's got to be great. He's got to be fantastic. And you got to go after that. We got to pray this way. We got to pray that way. This worship style or that worship style. And I don't know about Salmonarm, but in Kamloops, man, there are a lot of church hoppers. People that just hop and hop and hop around being like, ah, this isn't for me. This isn't for me. Oh, guys, as a pastor, I'm like, God is for you. God is in this church. He's in that church, and he's doing great things. things. But we're looking to find what suits our needs before we ask God, where do you need me to suit someone else's needs? It's so important. We base our spiritual growth, on how good the music is or how good the message is. Or friends, I say this because I lived this. I lived this. I was so desperate to find such a great church in Edmonton when I was there in college. I was at this awesome little church called City Center. Their whole heart was to reach the homeless population in Edmonton. A great, great place. And I left it, and I lament of this. I left it because I was like, I'm not getting enough here. And I went to this big church and had a very, very difficult time there. Very, very difficult time. But I only say this to say that within our culture today, we're wrapped around me, me, me. We are. This world, it tells us constantly that what you do determines who you will be. That if you have the greatest things, success is determined by money or fame or how many materialistic things you have. Attractiveness is determined by presentation, whether you're pretty, you're ugly, you're jacked, you're skinny, or to be great means you have accomplishments upon accomplishments. This is what the world and culture is telling us today. And it's telling us to go after that. And in my context, I am a youth pastor, and so of course I see this. Social media, TikTok, all these things. You know, they're not necessarily bad things. There's good things that can come from it. But what I'm saying is that we have this narrative in this world that says you got to be the greatest person you can be. And to do that, you got to step on toes. You got to get money. You got to do this. You got to do that. But what does this do for us? In our hearts, in our minds, what is this doing for us? And it leaves us. And this word, it crushed me when I heard this. It is an instant gratification state of being. The fast food mentality, the vending machine mentality. I need this now, I need this now, so it works, it's good. And God wants us to slow down. He wants us to slow down because he has something for us. We think that for us to be joyful, we need money, fame, power, or whatever that idol may be, which is cool. Danny was praying for that at the start. All this has been working up for this. Oh, I love it, I'm excited. I'm very excited. We look for the right pastor. We look for the right worship song. We look for this instead of asking God, what do you have for me? And for all of us sitting here in this room, I truly believe you are in this place for a reason. And maybe this is your first time here, or maybe this is your 700th time here. I don't know. But God has you here for a reason. Because you woke up this morning, and maybe you were tired. It's daylight savings time. I just remembered that. So you had to even set the clock forward. You are here for a reason. Maybe your family doesn't come to church, but only you do. You are here for a reason. And God is calling to you for something through this beautiful church. And so I ask again, do you know the way to God? Father, today we ask that you would just be so clear to our hearts and to our minds that, God, we need you in this place, because without you, God, this is nothing. And so, Father, today, open our hearts, open our minds to something new from you. God, you're already here. We love you and we thank you in your name. Amen. If you brought your Bibles today, we're going to open up to John chapter 4. We're going to hop around a bunch, and so try and keep up if you can. But I love the book of John recently. It speaks so much to intimacy with God. And so the biography of Jesus' life, as written by John, it explains this. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. There's our answer. I'm done. No, I'm just kidding. That is the answer we need. The way to Jesus is through, or the way to God is through Jesus and his life. And I love this verse. Maybe you're like me. I'm a problem solver. So I love technology. You know, I really do. I love troubleshooting printers. I know that might be a hot take, but we have an annoying printer at my church, and I'm sitting there trying to figure it out all the time. Our receptionist has questions about tech. I'm always trying to figure out a way to get around something, you know, troubleshoot, find the answer, and do it. But Jesus is saying, you're not troubleshooting this. You are not troubleshooting this moment. The only way to God is through me. And the next verse he says in verse 7, it says this, if you had really known me, this one hits hard, if you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is our perfect example of life with God. If we truly see Jesus and his life, we will know the life that God wants us to live, because he's asking, or he's saying, that the only way to God is through me, not me, Jesus. The only way through God is Jesus. And so that is our perfect example. We now have to build and look at Jesus' life from top to bottom to know how we get to God, the way to him. But here's the problem. Let me cover the problem first. The problem we face is that we are sinful people. Each one of us in this room, we are all sinful people. Sin meaning this definition, sin meaning miss the mark, to miss the mark. And this is where in my life I got the most hung up, was with sin. Because sin made me feel like I'm never going to live up to the expectation that God has for me. I'm never going to be able to live morally perfect, to have sin out of my life. And I thought, what's the point? Why would I try? Why would I do it? Because every single time, I just felt down and down and down. You see, I viewed this mark, missing the mark, sin, missing the mark. I viewed this mark as moral perfection. Success to be obtained, greatness, attractiveness as a follower of Jesus, to never say, oh, I am clean, I am good. And yes, my heart is clean, God has cleansed me. But what if the mark is not moral perfection at all? What if that's not the mark at all? What if the mark is union with God? Rather than being the most sinless and blameless person to live, what if it's a relationship with Jesus? The point of getting sin out of our lives is to be closer to him. What if that is the mark? And don't get me wrong, it is excellent, it is excellent to pursue God and to live a sinless life. It is great, that is a great pursuit, to leave sin out, leave sin at the door and say, God, change me. That is amazing. But what if the mark is healing your soul? What if the mark is adoption to God's family? What if it is becoming someone marked by love, wisdom, and strength in Christ? What if that is the point of living as a disciple to Jesus? And like I said, this book is Practicing the Way book. All this stuff is so good. He has a quote in there. John Mark Comer has a quote and says this: Jesus did not invite people to convert to Christianity. He didn't even call people to become Christians. He invited people to apprentice under him into a whole new way of living, to be transformed. That word Christian actually isn't even in the Bible. That is a word we made today, that word Christian. What people were called in the Bible were followers of Jesus, disciples, apprentices to Jesus. And I believe Jesus, that when we choose and desire to follow him, he's asking us not to take on this mantle. And as long as we have this mantle, we're fine. But I think he's inviting us to allow that mantle to do its original intent. We're blessed to have this word Christian, but it means a very deep thing. To be a follower of Jesus, to be apprentice of Jesus, it is to transform us through each part of our design. As I talked about building up Jesus' life, if we are to reflect him and to mirror him, he needs to transform every single part of our life. And the best part is he is the one who made us. God made us. And so he knows us deeply. He knows how we act, how we respond, our emotions. He knows it all. And we get to partner with him and allow him to change us. Another quote from John Mark Comer's book, this one got me too. For Jesus, salvation isn't about getting us into heaven, it's about getting heaven into us. Salvation is not a transaction, it's transformation. In Matthew's biography of Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, it reads this. Oh, this one's good, you guys. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. You see, we can do all these amazing things in Jesus' name. Make our external selves look perfect and great and do awesome things. And like I said, they're not bad. Those are great things if we're doing them in Jesus' name. But do you know him? Does he know you? Do the depths of our heart know our Lord and Savior? Has your heart been opened and transformed by your Creator? And the way we get to this point, as I started, is through Jesus. And maybe that sounds a little trivial today. Like, oh yeah, that's probably the most Christian thing he could say. But I don't know. I've gone with that for a long time, and only recently do I feel like my life has been totally transformed by Jesus. I mean that in honesty and vulnerability. Only recently. I was talking to Andrea on our drive out here. We spent the day in Kelowna, and we spent in Vernon yesterday because we love this space. We love being out here and visiting because it's new to us. All of it's new to us. But anyways, on the drive, and we stayed in Salmon Arm overnight here, and on the drive here, I was like, Andrea, the only reason I've changed, the only reason I have grown at anything is not the amount of books that I've read, not the amount of sermons I've watched, or the teachers I've had teach me. It's been in here. It's been at the feet of Jesus, listening, saying, God, I don't want this in my life. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to act like this. And it's been in here. Two things make me emotional. Really good movies and Jesus. Anything Jesus. So love me, guys. Love me. And anyways, I say this with love. Danny and David, they love you guys so much. Pastor Danny, Pastor David, they love you so much. But I can tell you right now, they do not want you to become like them. They don't want more Dannys running around. They don't want more Davids running around. I want more Dannys running around. That'd be awesome. But they want more Jesuses running around. They want more of you to be Jesus to people out there in the needs of Salmon Arm. And in a similar way to do this, in a similar way to Jesus' life, I believe that how we get to God, the way to God, is through three things. Number one, to be with Jesus. Number two, to become like Jesus. And number three, to do as Jesus did. And if you know these things, I'm going to just encourage you in them. And maybe you've never thought of it this way, but this is it, to grow close to God. And now these three things, they're kind of meant to be broad, you know, because I think God's very artistic. I think he loves his people and how he's made them. We're all so unique. Each of us have different personality. I could stand here and talk about football for the next 15 hours, and you might be like, I never want to hear that word again. I love sport. Like, there's things that I love that you won't. There's ways that you can pray, things that you can think to pray that I can't think. There is a personality that God wants to bring out in you, but he also wants to meet you in that personality, to meet you there. And I think we can't hold our minds to think it's one way. He's got so many beautiful ways to him. And so let's go through these things. Number one, be with Jesus. And this is something I have always struggled with. If I'm being completely honest, this is something I've always struggled with. Because if you're like me, I've got routines. Wake up, check the phone, get ready for work, pack a lunch, go to work, get back home, relax because it's exhausting, it is, and then go to bed. That's my routine. I do it every single day. And I get in my mind, and I don't like this thought. I really don't. I have repented of this thought many times. How will spending time with Jesus benefit my life? Oh, even saying it makes me sick. How will spending time with Jesus help my life? I've got to pay the bills. I've got to go to school. I've got to go to church. I've got to go to work. I've got to do these things. I've got to clean the house. I've got to take care of kids. I don't have kids, but I want them. Don't worry, Danny, we're catching up. I got all these responsibilities ahead of me. God, how will giving you 10, 15 minutes of my day help? Oh, it's scary. It's scary to say that. My view of Jesus is that of a vending machine. Press the buttons and have it show up. And if it doesn't show up, you do the shake thing. You try and get it out. I need it now. I need it now. The instant gratification that we talked about. To be with Jesus is to be with the source of our lives. If he lives in us, if we're not feeding that within us, we are not being fed ourselves. Jesus teaches a parable in John chapter 15, and it starts in verse 4. We're going to hop some verses in here as well. So John 15, 4, it says this, "Abide in me and I in you." Oh, that word, abide. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be full in you. Sorry, I read that wrong. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Christian discipleship, apprenticeship to Jesus, is solely based on our time with him and nothing else. That is it. To disciple Jesus, if I want to learn from somebody, if I want to learn to do a specific thing, it's a lot harder to do that apart from that thing. If you want to be a carpenter, you got to learn with a carpenter. If you want to do electrician, be electrician. It helps that if you have someone showing you what to do. It's a lot harder if you don't, and you're just trying to learn and figure it out. And friends, believe me, I know that it can be so difficult to break routines. I've been there. To break your routine, to carve out time in your day. But let me tell you, if you want to see your life changed, it doesn't start with the person sitting next to you. It doesn't start when the time feels right. It doesn't start when the right government is in place. It starts with your heart saying, "Jesus, change me." And maybe you've heard that for the 5,000th time. But like I said, and I know, maybe you know this right now, but I truly believe that God is asking us to actually grab it today, to hold on to it and allow it to be true. It starts with intimate time you share with Jesus. How on earth am I going to know my wife if we're not spending intimate time together, talking, conversing? There's no way we'll get to know each other. Jesus wants to know you. Who? Sometimes we think that we got to know him. He wants to know you. He wants to hear your thoughts, your doubts, your questions, your difficulties. He wants to hear it all for the sake that he can show up and bring his light into that situation. To be with Jesus is the greatest gift we could receive. And get this, the win of spending time with Jesus is you're spending time with Jesus. The win of spending time with him is you get to be with him. You get to spend time with him. And all of this works for a purpose. It all does. Because through this first idea of being with Jesus, we then get to become like Jesus. Number two, we get to become like Jesus. Through time with Jesus and being with Jesus, it should allow us to become like him. A necessary transformation. Because we're being formed by everything around us. We are. Family, media, the news, friends, emotions, hardships, joy, everything is shaping us. It truly is. The point of transformation is to reverse all the things that culture tells us. Truly, I'll get to that in a sec a little bit more. But first, to become like Jesus, we must first acknowledge how we are unlike Christ. This is the number one step. And let me tell you, this can be messy. Ooh, I can remember sitting on the floor after I failed my second exam, sitting on the floor weeping before God and saying, "God, what did I do wrong? Why are you not doing this for me?" And all that he pulled out, he didn't explain to me all the reasons why I failed, the things I said in the test. He pulled out in my heart where I wasn't like him and where I wasn't giving time to him and allowing him to shape. He pulled all that out and it was messy. I was confronting all these things with Jesus, and it was important, but it was difficult. It was very difficult. You see, we got to be willing to let God show us the areas in our heart that we are not like him. Because when things are going well in our lives, it's a lot harder to look at those moments. Because we just want God to touch the good things, to deal with the good things. When worship's really good and we're feeling it, or when our prayers are just so strong, it's like nothing can stop them. We want God to move and work in those places. And the farthest place we want God to work is when we are at home and we're sitting and saying, God, I don't think my prayer means anything. That's where he wants to work. He wants to take and say, I have made you to be mine. You are mine. Let me shape you. Let me change you. Paul writes a letter to a church in the church in Colossae, and he explains this, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. This is our guarantee. If there's doubts, that's okay. If you're worried, if you don't understand, that's okay. But here's our assurance that as Jesus died, we are being and have been made full in him. You see, Jesus, he lived a holistic life. Everything that we could want to be emotionally, mentally, physically, he was there. And we have that opportunity to be full with him. But it starts with trusting in the power of God. It's key. It's key because the difference, a lot of other religions, we had a class in college called, world religions, and we learned so many different religions. I went to a mission trip to Cambodia. Buddhism is a big religion over there, and all that they're trying to do is get to a moral perfection, to live a holistic life, karma, this and that, all these things. And the only difference we have is, well, there's many differences we have, but two big ones I see is, one, we have a loving God who actually wants to meet us and be with us, but number two is that Jesus conquered death. He did, and if we are not believing that, then all this transformation means nothing, because the transformation happened when Jesus died. That's where it all started. The prayer, I don't know who this worship guy was, awesome. That prayer, so powerful, because he's saying that The veil was removed. It will never be back. There was a time where people could not meet with God freely. There was systems, that's a funny word to use. No, not systems. There were rituals. There were laws to get to meet God because he's powerful. God is mighty. There's nothing he can't do. And to be in his presence, oh man, there was a guy who touched the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament and boom, he was done. Like, that is God. That is our God. But now we get to be there in his presence. Oh, yeah, I love it. It's too good. And the Holy Spirit's work in this verse, the Holy Spirit's work is integral. To have the Holy Spirit filling you, in you, with you. And how we get to this point. The Holy Spirit is who changes how we've been formed to be who we need to be formed into. The Holy Spirit is the great reversal. And this works through the belief in what Jesus did. To become like Jesus means to say yes to this work, to make room for his work, to make time for his work. And when we're busy, we miss it. We just miss it. Our priorities are on the world and what the world wants from us. Money, success, fame, your truth, whatever it is. And honestly, I say this in love, but maybe it's even self-care. That whole word, that whole mentality, me, me, me. And don't get me wrong, like I said, these pursuits aren't bad. Those are good pursuits. You want to provide. You want to work. Maybe success brings people seeing you and seeing Jesus in you. But where is Jesus? That's what I'm trying to get, the perspective of Jesus in these situations. Is he sitting on the outside and being like, God, I need to get this for me? Or is Jesus, I want to do these things for you. This is it. This is it. To allow what Jesus wants to do in your life, we got to place Jesus at the center everything. And three crucial parts. I keep giving you guys threes, lots of threes today. This is a part of becoming like Jesus. Three crucial parts we become like Jesus are teaching, the practices, and community. teaching, I ask, what are you listening to? What are you feeding yourself? Is it only news, social media? Or is it his word? Or is it sermons? Those are good. Videos about God's word. Bible project, I love that stuff. Worship music in your day. And not all these things are bad, like I've said. I'm not trying to get us to think that, you know, social media is just the worst thing we could have, or watching the news is the worst thing. Not at all. But what I'm saying is, where's your balance? What's more right now? Because that's shaping your worldview. And we want a worldview shaped by God. Number two is the practices. Man, these get me so excited. Because these, oh man, my throat, Missy, is going crazy. The practices. When we look at Jesus' life, this is what I'm talking about. The practices of Jesus' life. Exactly what he did. Why I get so excited about it is because he walked them. He lived them. On this earth, I don't think Jesus played football. I don't think he did. But what we do know he did was he prayed, he fasted, he Sabbathed, he had solitude, he was in scripture, he was in community, he was generous, he served, he witnessed to people. These, they're not necessarily the answers to life themselves, but these are how Jesus lived his life, and we should want to do the same. We should want these in our life. Because to get to that building point, the holistic life that Jesus lived, it would only make sense to do exactly what he did, to follow after him in that. And if you live these out, this is the best part. If you live these out, you will notice a change. You will. It's not if, it's not when, it's you will. You will notice a change. In your heart, in your mind, the way you think, the way you love people, the way you talk to people. And then lastly in this, to become like Jesus, it's community. We need each other. We need each other. At my church, a saying that we always have, we say, we are image bearers of Christ. Each one of us, we hold that with us. We are bearing the image of Christ, and we are to reflect it to one another, to show it to one another. Have you ever been asked or told that thing? There's something different about you, you know? Someone who doesn't know God comes up and says it, or you hear a story of it. There's something different about you. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And then lastly, the third thing, to do as Jesus did. We are all to do as Jesus did. The last thing on the way to God is to do as he did. And if you're like me and you've been around the church some time, I'm hoping somebody knows what this means. Does anybody know what WWJD means? Oh yeah, that's good. What a question, hey? What would Jesus do? I had a bracelet. Well, I probably had like 100 of them. They were always handed out. But I had a bracelet. What would Jesus do? What a question, right? And you know, it became a bit of a joke, you know? We joke about it now, but man, to get serious about it, what a question. God, I'm being tempted to do bad things daily. Jesus, what would you do? God, my house is just burnt down to the ground and I lost everything. Jesus, what would you do? God, my friend just betrayed me and now I'm suffering greatly because of it. Jesus, what would you do? God, I don't have the resources to feed my family or provide for them. Jesus, what would you do? You see, we say these things to God all the time. I do. God. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to make a sports joke, but I won't. I was going to say, why are the Oilers winning the cup yet? God, no. I'm just kidding. But to get back to it, the more challenges that I walk through in my life, I wonder, is it the challenges, the physical obstacles that I get annoyed at? The flat tire, the bad driver, the low income, the government, inflation, tariffs. Is it these things, or is it the emotion and feeling it brings up in me that I am truly affected by? You see, we're so quick to put problems on external forces. I will say it first, I am. But I want to challenge us today to say, maybe more often than not, it's not actually other things, it's just us. It's us and the areas that Jesus hasn't affected. It's me. How can I think, I thought about this as I was writing this, how can people experience tremendous heartache? Tremendous. I've known of families who've lost all their kids in a car accident, and they're the ones to survive. And what they did coming out of that was worshiping God. How can people do that? I don't know if I could. That's so intense. But they do. They do as Jesus did. Faith, thanksgiving, patience, all these things. And through all this transformation, we are called to imitate God, to do as Jesus did. Paul writes a letter to the church in Ephesus saying in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, he says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." In this letter, Paul's explaining that this is the example people need to see. Not just us, but people out there that they need to see. That sets us apart, imitating Christ. And we show how good it is to follow Jesus. Even though it's difficult sometimes, I stand with you with that. I stand with you in that. As followers of Christ, it's living out the gospel, the good news, every single day. You see, we have found freedom in Christ. Amen? We have. We found freedom. Let's show it. We found love in Jesus, right? Amen? Let's show it. Not in here, not just in here, out there to the people that need it, even when it's difficult. And in those difficulties, I would pray for you and be with you, and I would say, take them to the feet of Jesus, because he will meet you there. He will. Worship team, you can come back on. And now I want you to hear my heart, friends, because I love you guys. I love each of you sitting in this place. If you're here like me, this is me all the time. I hear these messages, and I can leave a little bit ashamed. I don't want that for you. Not at all. Please don't leave like that. The things I say to myself and all about myself, I always say, I'm not doing enough. Oh, I should be doing more. Oh, I failed my walk with God. I failed it. I haven't done good enough. And let me tell you, I rebuke that right now in Jesus' name, because the enemy wants you so badly to think that you never mean anything to God. He wants so badly to think that, because you are a difference maker for him. To maybe one person. That one person, that Daniel at the youth conference, the youth rally. That one person's life was changed. Hallelujah for God. That one person's life. And to say it again, the problem is sin, the enemy. Sin takes us away from feeling we are worthy of the type of life Jesus lived. We say, I'll never get to that point. I'll never be as good. I can never give a whole day to prayer. We say these things, and I would say to you, it's okay. Because listen, you know, we don't need another physical Jesus here on this earth. He was already here. He was already here. But what we need are people reflecting him in every which way, because you can see Jesus in your life, but there's so many people out there that can't. There's so many people that are looking for him in everything, alcohol, drugs, sex, porn, whatever it is. They're looking for Jesus, and they're looking to be filled, and they can't see him. They can't see him. They need us. They need you. And like I said, don't let the shame flood in. Don't let the shame flood in. Don't let it make you feel that you just can't do it, that you'll never be able to make it to that point. We will. You will get there. Because what Jesus wants, he doesn't want you to add to your busy routine. He doesn't want you to add this, add that. Because when you start doing that, it feels like you're being weighed down and down and down. What he wants is for just 5 minutes or 2 minutes, whatever you can give. He's asking. He's desperate for it, because he wants to tell you how loved you are. He wants to bring your gifts out. He wants to hold your gifts up high. And he wants to say, this is how I've made you to be. This is how I've made you to be. It's beautiful, you guys. It's like a painting is being painted right now over your life. I can see it right now over your guys' heads. He's painting a picture of you. And he's showing you, I love you. I love you so much. And whatever that image is right now, I pray you hold on to that. You hold on to that. Because the way to God, it might sound trivial, but it is to be with Jesus, to become like him, and to do as he did. But I pray that you leave encouraged today with that. And if I could encourage you with this as well, a lot of this, it does sound me-focused, right? It does. Like, I've just been saying, we can't be so me-focused. But in turn, you spending time with God, Andrew was telling me this yesterday too. She's been noticing me spending a lot more time with God. And she's like, Nate, I've noticed a difference in you. Whew. Andrea knows God. Andrea loves God. She's a believer. She follows him. It's for everyone else too, you guys. You spending time with Jesus, you allowing him to transform you. It's not just for yourself. It's so importantly for the people around us too. We're going to move into another worship song. And as we do, I put a question up there on the screen. And it's, what area in your life is God asking you to give to him? I think it's important to note just one thing. I'm a problem solver, troubleshooter, like I said. I want to pull everything out all at once, get it all out of there, find all the answers. But today I would think that God is just asking one thing. Where do you see in your life that he's asking you to give? And so as the worship team leads out here right away, I just want to pray this over you, this Psalms 51 over you. And so I encourage you, bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're open to it, open your hands to God, open your hearts to God, and receive this today. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. And so, Father, now I ask hearts would be open, that you would put in people's minds and people's hearts one thing, that it's time to give up to you. As the band plays, as the band worships, I'm going to be standing up here at the front. I'd love to pray with you if there's something. And maybe if you're here today and you're comfortable with praying for someone as well, you could join me up here if you'd like to pray for your family in this church today. But we're here together, you guys. If you're open, let God take it. And he works everywhere too. So if you just want to remain seating or sitting there, he'll work with you as well. But Ben, if we could praise God today. Oh, my family, I love you guys. Thanks for being willing to go deep with me, with God today. Like I said, please don't leave this place feeling shame. And if you feel like you are, if you feel like you're holding on to that, please don't leave. Stay back. Danny, Pastor Danny is here. He'd love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you. But please leave this place today encouraged to know that it's possible to be with Jesus. We can break our routines. We can add Jesus in just a little bit, and it will make the difference. It will. And so, Father, today, I thank you, God, for you. Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. Jesus, I thank you that you did what we couldn't do and that we get to stand here because of it. Lord, for each person in this room, I pray that you would even, I feel you pressing it on my heart, God, that each of these people in this room would think of one person that they can talk to about you this week that doesn't know you and that they can bring here next week. It's funny, Jesus, we get scared, and I do too, about inviting people sometimes to church, but the worst they can say is no. That's it, yes or no. And so, God, today I pray that you would help us to be bold, firstly, with you, to say, God, be in my life. Help me to be like you. Help me to do as you did. And then secondly, to be bold in our community. Salmon Arm needs you, Father. We lift the needs up of these communities right now, Jesus, and say, Jesus, work. Help this church to work. Help this church to work for the community, to work to be a light, God, on this hill as Salmon Arm can be seen so far from it. And Father, we give this day to you and ask that it would be pleasing to you. Our hearts, our offering would be pleasing to you. We love you, God, and we thank you in your name. Amen.